Leviticus chapter 20, verse 2. Please stand together with me out of honor to God and His word as I read. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Thank you. You may be seated. So looking at murder for Molech, if you don't know, Molech was a false god, like I was telling the children there, a false god, and people would sacrifice their children to this false god. Now, I didn't want to tell the kids that, but that's the truth of it. They would sacrifice their own children. So this is going to be a heavy message, but before we get to that, let me start a little lighter. So there were these parents, and they had a four-year-old only son. And so they decide to tell their four-year-old only son that they're going to be having twins. Well, the parents expected their son to be all excited. However, when they tell the boy, he responds, okay, I'll start making signs. You two start making phone calls. I think these babies are going to be harder to get rid of than our puppies were. Let's look at murder for Molech. By way of introduction, Christians believe in the sanctity of human life. We believe in the sanctity of human life. We celebrate God's gift of human life. We acknowledge the infinite value of human life because each person is made in the very image of God. And we emphasize that all human life must be protected at all stages and at all costs. Now, when it comes to Molech, Molech was the national deity of the Ammonites. He was the national deity of the Ammonites. Now, who were the Ammonites? Well, they descended from a person called Ammon, and this was Lot's son. So if you think back in your Genesis, you might remember hearing about Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot had a couple sons, one of whom was Ammon. It's a very sordid story that I'm not going to share now, but Lot's daughters intoxicated and abused their father, and Ammon was born from Lot's younger daughter in that whole situation. Now, Ammon, as far as where they lived, was located northeast of Jerusalem. As you can see in the map here, it was located northeast of Jerusalem. And if you've ever heard of Amman, Jordan, sometimes when you're watching the news, you hear of Amman, Jordan. Amman, Jordan today retains that ancient namesake from Amman, which would be one of Lot's sons that was born out of that sordid relationship that I mentioned. So that gives us an idea who Ammon was, who the Ammonites were, and certainly they had this god, Molech, who was a false god. So let's see what we can learn about this. First of all, by looking at abomination. The most notable aspect of Molech worship was child sacrifice. Parents would burn their children to Molech. This act was thought to please Molech, bringing future prosperity and future posterity. But God never required human sacrifice of his people. God never required human sacrifice of his people. In fact, look here at Jeremiah 32 and verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And so God says, I don't require human sacrifice. I never commanded it. I never even considered it. In fact, he calls human sacrifice an abomination. God also requested human sacrifice from Abraham, but he didn't require it. If you remember that story from Genesis in chapter 22, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac as a test. But when it came down to do the actual sacrifice, God sent an angel to stop the sacrifice. There is a tragic story of human sacrifice in Judges chapter 11. There's a man by the name of Jephthah. He was one of Israel's judges. And he asked God for victory over the Ammonites, ironically. He asked for victory over the Ammonites. And then he vows a vow to God. He says, God, if you give me victory, when I get home, the first thing to come out of my front door, that's what I will sacrifice to you. Well, sadly, when he gets home victorious from war, his daughter came out the front door to meet him. But why does God not want human sacrifice? Why is God not interested in our human sacrifice? Well, people are made in his image, which means that people possess infinite dignity, worth, and value. Not only that, but human sacrifice would be unacceptable to God because of human sin. Now, God did accept animal sacrifices, and he did so because they are morally innocent. Animals are morally innocent. Animals are incapable of making moral decisions. Now, you may scold your pet by calling him a bad dog. But he isn't bad. He can't be bad. He's just acting like the dog that he was created to be. And so animals are morally innocent. They could be substituted as a sacrifice. There are no people who are morally innocent. So people could not stand in to pay as a sacrifice for our sin. However, there is one exception to that. God did require human sacrifice in one instance. Not of us and our children, but of himself and his very own son. Perhaps one of the many reasons God forbade human sacrifice was to underscore the uniqueness of Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus is the only acceptable human sacrifice. Jesus, not only that, but he is the only way to be saved. He said of himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And let's focus for a few minutes on Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice was voluntary. He died willingly. Jesus' sacrifice was vicarious, meaning he died for others. Jesus' sacrifice was violent. He died by the cruel method of crucifixion. Jesus' sacrifice was vengeful. God took out his vengeance on Jesus. Jesus' sacrifice was valuable. His death is sufficient to pay for every sin ever committed. His sacrifice is victorious. His death paid the sin debt of every believer. And finally, Jesus' sacrifice is vacated, meaning his death was temporary. Jesus, when he died, he completely paid for our sins, and then he rose again from the dead. Let me pause here before I go any further and ask you life's most important question. Have you received Jesus' sacrifice for your salvation? Again, we just talked about his sacrifice, how it was voluntary, vicarious, violent, vengeful, valuable, victorious, vacated. But have you received his sacrifice for your salvation? Again, he said he's the only way to be saved, and his sacrifice is the only sacrifice acceptable to God. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, that he was buried for your sins, that he rose again the third day for you? This is the only way to be saved. This is the only way to be forgiven. This is the only way to be made right with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I ask you again, have you received Jesus' sacrifice for your salvation? So we see the abomination. Secondly, I want us to look at the prohibition. God, through Moses, declares that child sacrifice is unlawful. We see that in our text there. Child sacrifice is unlawful. As you read on, you find out that child sacrifice defiles God's sanctuary. And secondly, it profanes God's name. And from our text this morning, verse 2, it says, those who engage in child sacrifice are to be killed themselves by stoning. Now let me pause and say this. The death penalty actually upholds the sanctity of human life. The death penalty upholds the sanctity of human life. Human life is precious. Because human life is precious, those who take human life are to be denied their own precious life. And by the way, that's not just Old Testament. The New Testament also supports the death penalty. Look here at Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. Paul is talking here about the government, the pagan Roman government. He says, for he is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I submit to you today, my friends, that elective abortion is a violation of God's prohibition. When God says, do not sacrifice children, elective abortion is a violation of God's prohibition. Judgment Day is going to be bad enough for any unbeliever. But I just wonder what Judgment Day will be like for abortion providers, abortion practicers, abortion-supporting politicians, and abortion proponents who have murdered millions of the most innocent among us. And I don't know if you know this stat or not, but since 1973, just in the United States, over 63 million babies have been murdered. I wonder what it's going to be like on Judgment Day when these abortion people, whether they're doctors or whatever they are, stand before God and give an account to him and try to make excuses why it was so important that they murder babies. And I will tell you this, that there is one politician currently who has decided to make abortion the centerpiece of her campaign. Now, murdering the innocent is disgusting and shameful. But how can killing babies be your central issue? How can people enthusiastically vote for somebody who wants to kill babies? That makes no sense to me. But But if you remember last week, what I talked about, the Ten Commandments, God's objective, unchanging standard of behavior in the Ten Commandments has been ignored and is being removed, such that when you take away God's objective standard of behavior, all of a sudden things like killing babies sounds like it might be a pretty good idea. Our founding fathers recognized life as an inalienable right in the Declaration of Independence. In the Declaration of Independence, they say we have the right to life, the very first inalienable right. Life is the first inalienable right. There's me. The screen just changed automatically, but this was at the Life Chain last year. And knowing that the Declaration of Independence, that's why I wanted to hold this sign. You say, well, were our founding fathers talking about babies in the womb when they say we have the right to life? They didn't specify, and neither should we. The right to life is the right to life, and our founding fathers recognize that. I find it ironic that there's a movement underway to make abortion a constitutionally protected right, revoking our first inalienable right. If that's not irony, I don't know what is. So we've seen the abomination. We've seen the prohibition. But I want us to look thirdly at the justification. This is how these people worship Molech. They would say, well, if we want to please Molech, we've got to sacrifice our children. If we want to receive Molech's blessings, we must sacrifice our children. They were looking to their future prosperity. They were saying, well, we got to murder for money. They were looking to their future posterity. We have to kill to have more kids. That's how these people worshiped. And by the way, this is the same way people worship today. Now, people are much more enlightened nowadays. We don't sacrifice children to the gods of metal or stone. Instead, we sacrifice children to the God of self. Children are sacrificed daily on the altar of convenience. In other words, the mother will say, it's not a good time. This is an inconvenient time. Children are sacrificed daily on the altar of irresponsibility. Well, I made a mistake. Children are sacrificed daily on the altar of gender. Well, I wanted a girl. Children are sacrificed daily on the altar of imperfection. Doctor said there's something wrong with this baby. Children are sacrificed daily on the altar of fear. Well, if I go through with this, I'm going to get in trouble, and I don't know how to raise this child. Children are sacrificed daily on the altar of finances. It's going to be too expensive. Children are sacrificed daily on the altar of ignorance. Well, that's not a human life growing within you. It's just a group of cells. In fact, they'll say it's not a baby, it's a fetus. Now, probably you guys don't speak Latin, but let me help you with a little Latin lesson here. The word fetus means a human offspring. And so trying to distance people from the idea that there's a baby growing within the womb, they say it's not a baby, it's a fetus. And so we say, well, I don't really know what a fetus is, so yeah, that's not human. The word fetus means human offspring. And let me tell you what, human mothers don't have dogs. Human mothers don't have gorillas. Human mothers don't have lizards and snakes. They have people. And so you can call it a baby, you can call it a fetus, you're calling it the same thing. And children are sacrificed daily on these altars. And while some of these may sound like legitimate reasons from the mother's perspective, I'm not ready, it's inconvenient, too expensive, whatever, it might sound like legitimate reasons. There is no justification for taking human life. You might say, well, our culture accepts child sacrifice. The same stuff you're talking about. Our culture accepts it. Yes, so did culture back then. That's why God had to prohibit it in His Word. Because that's what those people were doing. They were sacrificing their children. And God says no, and He hasn't changed His mind. But anyway, even if culture does accept it, what matters more, the culture or the Creator? Think about it. Which matters more to you? The culture? What people out there think? Or the Creator who gives us life. And something else, mothers don't know whom they are aborting. A mother may abort the next great artist. A mother may abort the next great doctor. A mother may abort the next great inventor. A mother may abort the next great leader. A mother may abort the next great musician. A mother may abort the next great scientist. A mother may abort the next great writer. They don't know whom they are aborting. What if Mary had aborted Jesus? You said, Brother Gary, they didn't have abortion back then. Oh, yes, they did. What if Mary had aborted Jesus? Now, think about some good reasons she would have had for aborting him. She could have said, you know what, this isn't a good time. She wasn't married. It wasn't a good time. She could have said, well, it's very dangerous for me. Because in that day and time, she could be stoned for having a baby outside of wedlock. Or she might have said, you know what, I can't afford it. I'm just a peasant girl. How am I supposed to afford raising this kid? She had some really good reasons to abort Jesus. What if she had? Where would we be? I'll tell you where we would be headed. Every one of us would be headed to hell. Again, mothers don't know whom they are aborting. Artists, doctors, inventors, leaders, musicians, scientists, writers. In Mary's case, the Savior of the world. Closer than that, your Savior. But perhaps you're sitting there feeling quite guilty because you are responsible for having taken human life. You yourself had an abortion, or you encouraged somebody else to have an abortion. What then? What if you have taken human life? Is there any hope? Hear me. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. God's total forgiveness is available to mothers, fathers, doctors, and politicians, but only through one way, through Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, that Jesus was buried for your sins, and Jesus rose again the third day for you, you will be completely and totally forgiven. So is there any hope? If you have taken life, if you are responsible for taking human life, yes, God's forgiveness, full and free, is available to you by grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, as we wrap things up, in conclusion, when it comes to abortion, don't use it. Don't excuse it. Don't choose it. And when I say choose it, I mean it's going to be time to be doing some voting here coming up in a couple months. And you need to research the people for whom you're voting, the party for which you are voting, and find out where they stand on this view. Because if they are for abortion, they are anti-God. I don't care if they go to church. I don't care if they say God bless America at the end of their speech. If they are for abortion, they are anti-God. Guaranteed. So when it comes to abortion, don't use it, don't excuse it, don't choose it. But when it comes to life, choose it, cherish it, and conserve it. Choose it, cherish it, and conserve it. I've got protected up there. Conserve would be better because it starts with C. That's simply it. Don't use abortion, don't excuse it, don't choose it. Instead, choose life, cherish life. Conserve life. So we look today at murder for Molech. And really, when I first read that, it kind of sounded like, well, this doesn't even apply to us. I don't worship false gods. I don't make sacrifice. I never sacrificed my kids. It really doesn't apply. Oh, yes, it does. It applies directly to our culture in the same way that it applied back then. We saw, first of all, that sacrificing children is an abomination to God. It is an abomination to God. In every case, human sacrifice is not of God except one case where He gave His one and only Son so that we could be forgiven, so we could be saved. Secondly, we looked at the prohibition. God says sacrificing children is absolutely prohibited. Even our founding fathers understood the right to life as our very first inalienable right. And thirdly, we looked at the justification. People back then said, well, we want to have more children. We want to have prosperity. And so we're going to sacrifice our children to Molech so we can have a future posterity and future prosperity. It's the same way people try to justify abortion today. I'm not ready. It's inconvenient. I can't afford it. Blah, 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 blah. Never forget the question I ask. What if Mary had aborted Jesus? Where would you be? But suppose you are guilty of abortion. Suppose you have voted for abortion. Suppose you have encouraged abortion. Is there any hope? Yes. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. you can be completely and totally forgiven. Repent of your sin. Turn to Him and receive Him as your Savior. You might say, well, Brother Gary, abortion isn't an issue with me, but I've got this other issue here, or I've got that other issue there. Same is true. Repent of it and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will forgive you. He will save you. And His salvation isn't temporary. It is forever. And so the challenge today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior right here, right now. Believe that He died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you. If you have received Christ as your Savior, but you're a proponent of abortion, whether you're guilty of it yourself or you've encouraged others, voted for it, whatever, repent. Ask for God's forgiveness, and it will be provided full and free, but only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of life. May we cherish it. We thank You for the gift of eternal life. We're going to live forever, and not on this earth, but with You. Thank You that You are the God of life, this life and eternal life. Help us to love life like You love life. Help us to cherish life like You cherish life. Help us to be godly in all of our decisions and all of our actions. And we thank You in Jesus' name.